never dreamed that I would carry this heavy burden on my knees. I never thought that I'd be standing just where I stand today. I've never known this kind of heartbreak. I've never felt this kind of pain, but you're still God. The reason for this trial, but Lord, I know your ways are perfect, and you've been watching all the while. For to me you've proven faithful time and time again, and I'm learning, Lord, to trust you even when I don't understand. But you're still God when my eyes have cried a million tears. You're still God when my last hope has disappeared. You're still God, and I know you'll make a way somehow. Still God, and you're holding me right now.
Have your Bibles this morning, the book of Genesis, chapter number 24. In Genesis chapter number 24, I've been going to read verse number 61. Genesis chapter number 24, and verse number 61, it says, "And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way." Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that you would help us, that we might be an able minister of the Word of God. I ask you to speak to our hearts. And Father, just to touch and do that that's needful today, we pray in Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen. Just to kind of set the scene here of what's going on, what's happening. Abraham is desiring a bride for his son Isaac. And Abraham calls in his eldest servant and he says, "I want you to go and get a bride for Isaac." And he gives him specific instructions because he don't want it taken from among the Canaanites. He says, you know, and here he gives him instructions as to what to do and to go get a bride. And so the servant leaves and goes to find a bride to bring back for Isaac. And so he heads out and he goes and he finds Rebekah. And the servant, if we could put it this way, he woos Rebekah. He calls Rebekah and he tells her of the riches of Isaac, what he has, and he even brings gifts. And he gives gifts and he asks, would she come back and be Isaac's bride? Sound familiar? And so we find here in verse number 61, It said, "And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way." I want to preach to you this morning on this topic right here. Riding the camel. Amen. Riding the camel. I hope that you can understand when we get finished what I mean when I say riding a camel. But first of all, I want to ask this question. Has anybody in here, and see, I know there's one person in here, maybe more, but has anybody ever rode on a camel? There's one, so that means there's two that's rode a camel. Brooklyn, do you remember riding a camel? See, she was little, but she rode one. We put her on a thing up at Geneva at the fair, and so she got on the camel, and it was just a walk, and she went around. So I knew Brooklyn had rode a camel. Amen. But I never have rode a camel. But they call the camel is also known as the ship of the desert. Now, I ain't never been on no camel, but I've been on some boats. And they say that that camel riding it is kind of unforgiving, and it can be a pretty rough ride. So you just kind of got to try to go with that camel as you ride. And I thought about it because if you're on a boat and you get into rough seas, it's pretty rough and unforgiving itself. I mean, it will beat you to death. I thought about me and Pam. I think it was this last summer. Me and her was down at Port St. Joe, and we had fished down one side of the bay. And Port St. Joe is wide open. But we had fished down the side, and we were on the good side out of the wind and stuff. But when it got time to come back, we had to run across the bay to get back. And it was about a 6 or 7 mile run across the bay, and it was rough. It was choppy, white capping. And I told her, I said, "Hang on, because this is going to be a rough ride. It's going to be a rough ride." And it was. And we made it across back and launched the boat, and I was happy to pull back in to the marina and get there. But then I thought about this, because this ride that Rebekah's about to take, she's about to get on a camel, and she's about to take a 400-mile trip on the back of a camel. Where's she headed? She's headed to see Isaac. Amen. She ain't never seen him. She's heard about him. She's been told about him. I mean, the father sent the servant to go and find a bride, and Rebekah has agreed. Now then, the family, when it gets time to leave, the family says to the servant, "Let's wait a little bit. Don't leave right now. Don't go now. But, you know, give a little bit of time." But the servant says that, amen, it was now. That it was time to go now. And so they said, "Well, let's ask Rebekah." And they did. And she said she'd go. But the first thing that I want us to notice is this, and we'll back up to verse number 3 and 4 of this same chapter. And that is that it is of God's choosing. God's choosing. In verse 3, Abraham is speaking to the servant that he's about to send out, and he said, "And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac." There's a difference in this world in folks. And I'm not talking about what color your skin is. I'm not talking about what our social status and all that. But you know, when it comes push comes to shove, there's two kind of folks in the world. That's saved folks and lost folks. I mean, that's the two. That is the two groups. And he said, "I don't want you to take of the daughters of the Canaanites, which was a race that was sinking fast
into ungodliness and unrighteousness and a people that were doomed to the judgment of God. And Abraham said, I don't want you to take one from the ungodly. But he said, I want you to go to my people. Amen. There was still those that believed. There was some faith. They knew about God and who God was. And so he said, don't take them from among the Canaanites. Now this reminded me of what it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, where it says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And there's a difference. And in this difference and in this context of this verse here, before we go any farther, what we see Abraham, and he is a shadow of God the Father. And of that king that's making and preparing a wedding feast for his son. Isaac is representative of Christ, of Jesus, who is the bridegroom, is waiting for his bride. Waiting for the bride. The servant here in these verses represents the Holy Spirit as he's been sent out to go and to find the bride and to bring that bride back. And Rebecca is representative of the church, the bride. And God says, I want you to go to my people. 400 miles he made this journey. Revelation tells us in Revelation 19 and 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come and his wife hath made herself ready. You see, God's choosing. We look back in the book of Genesis to the very beginning. You know what? With Cain and Abel, the issue with Cain and Abel was there was some instruction that had been given by who? By God. As to how they were supposed to worship and the sacrifice and what was acceptable before God. They knew that. They knew what was acceptable before God. And guess what? Abel, we find his name in Hebrews in the chapter of faith because he offered that sacrifice to God. What did he do? He offered what God asked for. He did things God's way. Amen, amen. We've become so accustomed to thinking that we can do things our way and we don't have to worry about God's way. But, amen, and we can change things and make things different, but we can't. We cannot make things different and be pleasing to God. Cain, what did he do? He decided he could worship God like he wanted to. What difference does it make? I'm going to worship God like I want to. It mattered. And see, that's the thing with God. You know, I'm going to tell you something right here. Everybody in the world is not saved. Well, you said, well, I know that. And amen, I'm going to preach this sermon one day, but I hadn't preached it yet. But one day I'm going to preach this sermon. Dying does not make you righteous. Amen. Dying does not make you righteous. And here, what we have in God's choosing is we have God saying that, amen, He's setting a difference between the righteous and the unrighteous. He said, you go get a bride. And He said, I want it from those that are righteous. Amen. Now then, boy, we in trouble. But listen, hang on, it's gonna be all right. The bride hath made themselves ready. How do we make ourselves ready? Amen. Well, if you'll remember in the New Testament, that king that he had made that feast. Amen. You know where they got their wedding garment from? Amen. They got it from the king. Amen. He provided the wedding garment. And so guess what? Our wedding garment comes from God. Amen. But let's look on down here. Because God's choosing, He sets a difference between righteous and unrighteous. But then the question is, will we take that trip? Will we take the trip? In Genesis 24 and verse 58, it said, "And they called Rebekah and said unto her, Will thou go with this man? And she said, I will go." Everything's been laid out. It's been told what's waiting, that Isaac is back and home, and the bride and the family. They say, "Well, you know, hold it. Let's don't get in too big a hurry. Let's do a few things, spend a few days, and then we'll send y'all on your way." Amen. Just like the old devil, when God speaks to a heart, amen, he said, "Just hang on. Just sit down right there. You got time. We can do this next week or next month. It ain't got to be today." Amen. We can postpone it and we put it off. But amen, the servant is calling. The spirit is calling. And said, "Today, it's now. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. Will you go?" Amen. And they said, "We're going to call Rebekah and we'll ask her." Amen. See, there's the thing right there. Mom and daddy can't save you. Amen. Grandpa, what grandma and grandpa did, thank God, if they was godly and righteous. But amen, their salvation won't get you in. Amen. It's got to be your relationship with God. And so they said, "Call Rebekah and ask her." And she said, "I'll go. I'll go. I'll go." Amen. Will we go? Will we go? Rebekah said, she said, "I will go." Will we go with Jesus? Jesus asked that man there by the pool, "Wilt thou be made whole?" That was the question. I pray God that we're not almost persuaded, but that we're altogether persuaded. Amen. To follow God, to give our hearts and our lives to God, and to do what? And to get on the camel. And to get on the camel. Because Rebekah made a commitment of faith when she got on that camel that day to make that 400-mile trip. She said, "I'll go. I'm going." And she got on. She got on the camel. You see, listen to this now. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." If we're not born again, we cannot see the kingdom of God. We won't see it in this life, and we won't see it in the life to come. Amen. Folks look and they wonder. Amen. I think it, Brother Scott, just a week or two ago, was just mentioning about the difference in his vision, his sight from before God saved him to after God saved him, and how everything changed. What changed? Amen. The vision changed. Amen. Before salvation, you couldn't see the kingdom of God. But amen, when God saves you, things change. Amen. The perspective, the world, amen, it all changes. We go from a worldly perspective to a godly perspective. And amen, and things look different. Amen. Things look different. So Abraham's servant brought gifts. And he told of all that Isaac had and what awaited the bride upon her arrival at her new home. And all of these things she, boy, just told. And listen, all this time, wow, amen, can I just put it this way? All this time while the servant is preaching to Rebekah about Isaac and what's laid back at home, boy, her heart's getting bigger and bigger. It's filling up more and more. She hadn't seen Isaac. She don't know. Amen, she ain't never laid eyes on him. But buddy, everything she's hearing, she's getting more excited by the minute. And she got so excited that when they said, "You go and get on the camel for a 400-mile trip," she said, "I'm going." She said, "I'm going. I'm going." And she got on. And she started that trip. 400 miles. Riding on a camel. Scotty, how far is it from here to Tennessee? How far are you?
Huh? Almost 500.
Almost 500. Amen. But see, the thing about it is, if he left right now, he'd be home. You know, he could wait till he got home before he eats supper. And that's driving. Amen. I flew up there last year and we got on the airplane and less than an hour we was touching down in Nashville, Tennessee. But listen, this is a camel ride. Amen. This is getting on an old smelly camel. and taken a trip across the desert and all that awaited him 400 miles to make this trip. Amen. Didn't nobody pull up in a limousine and open the back door and say, "Get in. Oh, this is going to be fun." Seems like that's what we think of Christianity these days, that somebody just open up a door of the limousine for us and we get in, we just going to have a big old time. Well, let me tell you this. We still got a 400-mile trip. You know how we're going to get there? It ain't going to be in no limousine. It's going to be riding on a camel. Amen. We're going to be riding on a camel. And so she says, I'll go. And so thirdly, then there's the trip. We got to take the trip. Rebecca said that she would go, and she got on this camel for the long trip with a 400 miles ahead until she reached what? Where was she headed? She was headed to a promised land. She was headed to a new home, one she'd never seen before. She was going. I'll ask us right here, where are we at this morning in our 400-mile journey? There's some markers, but amen, there's not any mile markers. I mean, I can get on the interstate, and I know, you know, every once in a while, we'll get to whiz along there, and I'll just look over and see what number I'm at, because I know at 96, I'm getting off. You know, so I check and see how far I got to go. See, in this race of life that we're on here, there ain't no mile markers, and we don't know. We don't know if we're going to get off at 25 or 55 or 95 or 105. We don't know when we're going to get off, but amen, if we're God's children, we're on a journey. And we're going. And so where are we at? Now then, one thing that we all know is, amen, if you're on what we're going to call this gospel camel, amen, if you're riding this gospel camel, amen, we know that we're farther down the road than we were yesterday. Amen, I don't know exactly how much farther it is to home, but I know I'm closer than when we left yesterday morning. Amen, and I know that some of those things that I came through yesterday, amen, I hope I don't have to go through them again, but I know this, God brought me through them yesterday, and if He needs to bring me through them today, amen, I'm just going to ride this gospel camel till I get home. Amen. Taking the trip. Go see, if you're on this Christian journey, if you're riding that gospel camel, you've already encountered probably some uncomfortable places, some hard places. You've probably already come across some places and things that you thought, well, you know what? I just don't think Christians probably have to deal with and go through. Boy, I tell you what, you may have to deal with all sorts of things. There's things in my life I thought, boy, you won't never have to worry about that, deal with that. And guess what? I had to worry about it and deal with it. Things happen. The Bible tells us to think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. Boy, we up on that, we've been jostled around. Amen. Every once in a while we felt like, whoa, we almost fell off that thing. Good thing is, if we fall off, God will pick us up and put us right back on. Amen. We can continue on. You see, for us, it is the trials and the troubles of this life that jostle us around, that cause us heartbreak and different things, and even the joys. And this is our gospel camel. And all of these things, amen, though the ride, amen, was rough, every step she was getting just one step closer. Amen, though that it was rough, she was getting one step closer. Amen, to being at her new home. Amen. That rough ride, we get to thinking sometimes, you know, about all these things that we're going through, because I heard the preacher preach this one time. He said things happen, but they don't just happen. You see, God's able to work all things together for good. And boy, that old camel, I can't imagine 400 miles. And listen, I can't imagine if that trip me and Pam took across that bay, if it had been 400 miles, amen, I think I'd have just camped on the other side. I'd have waited. But amen, they got to take that trip. 400 miles, and God's got us on the trip. He's got us, amen, if you're a child of God this morning, He's got us on the gospel camel, and we're riding. And He hadn't promised that it's going to be easy. It's going to be rough ride. But He said, amen, somewhere, if we belong to God, somewhere along this way in life, we got on. God spoke to our heart and the Spirit come and wooed us and called us, and we said, I'll go. And amen, we got on and we've been riding. We've had some joys and we've had some heartbreak and some sorrow. But all the time while we was riding, we was getting closer and closer to home. Amen, that's where we're going. Amen, home. All the time getting closer and closer to the promised land. Getting closer and closer, amen, to that haven of rest. Amen, where we can pull in, we can be home forevermore. In the trials of this life, see, many times the trials of this life, life's trials, are God's instrument to bring us to Him. Boy, things get to going real good and everything just smooth sailing. We'll get to, I don't know, we get to looking around. You know, I don't know about y'all, but if we ride down the road and my wife's driving and she looks to the left, you know which way she's going? She's going to the left. She looks to the right, she's going to the right. Amen, I do the same thing. You do too. And amen, that's how we do sometime in our crib. Boy, everything just gets smooth. We just get to drifting. But buddy, you let trouble hit, it kind of refocuses us. It puts us in the trials. Listen to what the psalmist said. Amen, we'll move on to number four. But he said in Psalms 119 and verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Good for me. Amen. It's brought me closer to God. God's bringing us along. Amen. We're on this gospel camel, and He's given us the ride to home, and though it be not smooth, it's bringing us to Him. But I tell you what, number four here, and it don't tell us a whole lot about the actual trip itself. But amen, number four I wrote down here, encouragement along the way. We need some encouragement along the way. Now Rebecca, she left home, had her damsels, and amen, the servant was taking her back to Isaac, and she was dependent on the servant. Boy, if the servant had just left them out there in the middle of the desert, in the wilderness, guess what? They'd have perished. But he wasn't going to leave them. He done promised Abraham, I'm bringing them to you. Bringing them home. And she was dependent upon the servant for everything that she needed to sustain her and to go on this journey. And I can just picture them on that long journey somewhere, about mile marker number 250. And it's been a long day. And it's been hot. And maybe this day on top of that camel's been one of the worst days yet. Eat so much dust and dirt. But they got off and they kind of get refreshed a little bit. And they get the campfire going and they fix up a little bit of something to eat. And boy, they're all tired. And I can just imagine them just sitting down around there. And before they turn in for the night, Rebecca looks over at the servant and said, would you tell me a little bit more about Isaac? Tell me about him. What do you want to know? She said, well, tell me a little bit about his birth. Tell me a little bit about when his father took him up to offer him for a sacrifice. And the old servant might have looked at her and said, well, listen, I told you all that two nights ago. And she said, tell me again. And boy, I thought about this. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Amen. Tell it to me over and over again. Tell me about how He died. Tell me that He was crucified. How that they took Him to a cross. She would say, I wanted you to just tell me a little bit more about Isaac. I hadn't seen him, but from everything that you've said, boy, I can't hardly wait till I get to meet him. All that he is, that he's going to give to me. Amen. They came 400 miles looking for a bride, and they found me. God, amen, in His mercy and His grace, has come a long way. Amen, to Holmes County, Florida. Amen, to find you and to find me and to save us and to tell us about Jesus and His love for us. And Rebecca, I can just picture her saying, tell me a little bit more about Isaac. Amen. And boy, he tells her about Isaac. And though she's tired and weary, and the trip's been long, she goes to bed with her heart full. She lays down. She said, "Boy," she said, "I just loved it. I just love to hear that story." You see, boy, she was falling in love with him before she ever laid eyes on him. Tell me about him. I'm going to tell you something, boy, I've learned. It comes sometimes at the most unexpected times and unexpected ways. But amen, I've been on the job. I've been in the store in different places, you know, and feeling kind of maybe a little bit downtrodden and kind of, you know, got the mully grubs, if you want to be honest, and just, boy, things just ain't going really well, and I'm just going on. Listen, I'm still on the gospel camel, but boy, everything's against me. It just won't go my way. And amen, out of nowhere, some brother or sister, somebody, maybe somebody I know most of the time, sometimes every once in a while, somebody that I ain't never even met before, just stops me and says, "I want to tell you something." And they may begin to tell me, say, "Boy, God's been good to me this week." You know, it may have been we had a meeting and, well, we was in a bad way and God's done a work. Maybe it's that my family was in a mess, all destroyed and busted up, and everybody said there wasn't no hope, and God showed up, and amen, all is well. All of a sudden, hey, boy, here I was tired and give out and weary. Somebody just come by, and what day they just begin to tell me just a little bit about Jesus. Just testify just a little bit, not a lot. But boy, they left, and I don't know how they felt when they left, but I know I felt a lot better. It wasn't that they was trying to make me feel better. They didn't even know what kind of day I was having. They just want to tell somebody about Jesus. And boy, Rebecca, she wanted to hear about Isaac. And God help us, we as Christians, boy, we should want to hear about Jesus. We should want to know about Jesus and about His love and about what He has. And so she got encouragement along the way. And we too can get encouragement along the way. But amen, the fifth thing here, and it's the last thing this morning, my last point here about riding that camel. In verse number 64, Genesis chapter number 24 and verse number 64, it says, "And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel." I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I told y'all about that trip me and Pam took across that bay, and I sure was happy to pull into the marina and be able to get off. I'm going to tell you what, one of these days we're going to get the light off of this gospel camel. Rebecca, she looked and she saw Isaac. But amen, she dismounted from that camel, amen, because she had seen Isaac. Amen, that's been the whole theme ever since the servant came and began speaking to her. It's been about one thing. It's been about seeing Isaac, being where Isaac was, being the bride, amen, of Isaac. And here she has. She's traveled 400 miles on this old camel, amen, and she's went through the good days, the bad days. Some days they might have had made good time, and some days not so much. But amen, she just kept on riding, because she got on, amen, and she had committed to go. And here they are now at the end of the journey. And when she sees Isaac and she knows who it is, boy, she lights off that camel and she takes to go see Isaac. She's fixing to see him face to face. Amen, amen. I'm going to tell you what. There's a lot of things that happen to us in our life that we say it wouldn't have been our choosing. A lot of things that happen to us in life that we turn around and we look back on as in a negative light. A lot of things that we think could, you know, somebody was just talking the other day about, well, what if I'd have took this job instead of doing what I did? We don't know. I mean, you think, well, boy, I'd have made better money, I'd have done this. No, you don't know. You don't know which road, what turn it would have made. Well, no, but see, we get that. We get this build up thing. Boy, if I'd have done things different. Sometimes I think we feel like turning around kicking our old camel. Beat me half to death. Give me an uncomfortable ride through all this sand and dirt and all this kind of stuff. But amen. That ain't what Rebecca did. She lighted off her camel. Because you know where it got her? It got her to her new home. Amen. I believe one of these days, as God's children, well, when it's all said and done, I believe when God takes us off, when we light off of our gospel camel, all those things that have gone wrong and all those things that we couldn't see from our side and our perspective, we look down on them, amen, but when we turn around and we see that, amen, here comes Jesus and we're going to meet Him face to face and we light off of our gospel camel, we're not going to want to turn around and kick the camel. Amen, we might turn around and kiss Him right smack dab in the mouth. Why? Because we're home! Because everything that's been promised, it's true. There's nothing that has failed of any of the promises. Everything that they said about Isaac was so. Amen. And everything that God has told us about coming home and about Jesus is so. And amen, we're taking our 400-mile trip and we're riding the gospel camel. The Bible tells us one day we're going to see, you know what we're going to see? We're going to see a new heaven, new earth. Amen. Everything else is going to be passed away. The Bible also tells us in 1 Corinthians 13:12, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. Face to face. It took a 400-mile trip riding on a camel. But she arrived one day and she saw the bridegroom. And she saw Him face to face. And she became the bride. Amen. Amen. One of these days we're going to get off this gospel camel. And the bride of Christ is going to be home. Amen. And we're going to see Him face to face. You see, today is the day of salvation. If you've not yet got on the gospel camel, amen, it's today is that day to get on. To the child of God, take courage. Because that gospel camel that we're riding, though it makes uneven movements and it's uncomfortable to sit upon and we wish, boy, the things could be smoother, it's taking us home. It's taking us home. If you'll stand with us this morning, every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're saved this morning, you're already on this trip. You've already embarked, and I don't know where you are. Maybe you need some encouragement this morning. Amen. We'll pray. If you're here and you're lost, if you've not embarked on the journey, if you've not got on this gospel camel, this road headed toward home, I pray today be the day. Today is a day of salvation. It's not tomorrow, but it is today. If you have a need this morning, whatever that might be, we'd be glad to talk with you, to pray with you. Because the Father has everything that you need, everything that you could desire, everything that you could want. He said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He said, I will give you rest. As our sister plays this morning, while we wait just a minute, if you have a need, I pray you come. Father, we thank you this morning for all that you've done for us. We just ask you that you would continue even now to speak to hearts and to work, I pray, and to woo, to call, to encourage, to help, and strengthen us, I pray, as we, Father, on this journey. We thank you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. Because, Father, we know that for your children, Father, as we've embarked upon this journey, we know that you're going to see us home, see us through. And Father, for that we are thankful today. We just ask you to touch us now and keep us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.